You're going to get some. We're looking forward to. I've been praying for preacher, and preacher's going to bring God's word for us tonight. It's a privilege to come to God's house, and it's a privilege to be able to spend time fellowshipping together, singing about the Lord, singing to the Lord together, but most importantly, to be able to come and to continue to grow as we hear God's word preached. So we're looking forward to preacher. Preacher, you come and bring God's word for us this evening.
Thank you very much, Brother Daniel. I had something else planned for tonight. I was going to teach one of the chapters in Rightly Dividing the Word, Larkin's book. We run some stuff off. I was ready to pass it out tonight, but woke up yesterday morning, and the Lord changed my mind. He wanted me to go another direction, and I will try to preach what the Lord wants me to do. But I'll get you with that later on, next time I'm here. But turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 2, page 422 in your old Scofield reference Bible, King James Version. You know the story. This is one of the great chapters in the Word of God. You know the story. The word was out that God was going to take Elijah home to heaven. And he took Elisha down the three or four. I'll read those after a while. But let's pick up about verse 7. They come to the River Jordan. Now he's on the way to the River Jordan. And in verse 7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view far off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of the Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over, and the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, and they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of being here tonight. Thank you for once again, this side of eternity, standing and open the book and preaching the eternal word of God. Lord, I confess I can't preach. I confess to these people and to the Lord God of heaven, I can't preach unless you help me. And so, Lord, would you touch me tonight and help me to rightly divide your word and be a blessing to these dear people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I've said, this is one of the most exciting and interesting chapters in the Word of God. Time had come for Elijah to be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. And he told his assistant, Pastor Elisha, to stay here. The Lord wants me to go to Bethel. And he tried to keep him there. And he said, I believe I'll just go with you. Then at Bethel in verse 4, as you can see there, he said, you wait here. The Lord has led me to Jericho. And I just said, I believe I'll tag along with you. Then at Jericho, Elijah said in verse 6, a third time, you wait here, and the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And a third time, Elisha said, if you don't mind, I believe I'll just go too. And when they got to Jordan, 50 members of the ministerial association were waiting there. And they stood watching, and Elijah whacked the waters. And Elisha and Elijah walked over on dry ground. Now, some people have a hard time believing that, but it's in God's word, and God has all power in heaven and earth. But then Elijah said, Elisha, ask what I shall do unto thee. And Elisha said, without hesitation, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, now you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me, now that was the key, if you see me when I'm taken, it shall be so, and if you don't, it will not be so. So all of a sudden, a chariot and horses of fire swooped down from heaven, from God out of heaven, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. And this is an exciting thing, exciting part of the word of God. Verse 12 says, now this is the key. He said, if you want a double portion, you've got to see me. And verse 12 says, Elisha saw it. He saw it and he got it. He got the double portion of the power of Elijah to rest upon him. And just like he had to keep his eyes on Elijah to get that, and you know, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus as we go down through life and serve him. And Elisha tore off his own outer garments and picked up Elijah's mantle and walked over to the River Jordan and whacked the waters and asked the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And I want to preach on that. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? The waters opened right up, and those 50 members of the ministerial association said, my goodness, we got rid of one fundamental Baptist preacher, and now we've got another one on our hands. But for our consideration this evening, I want us to think for a few minutes on that question in verse 14, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I want to point out three things about this question. First of all, it's a vital question. And by the way, I was going to say that ever you've heard this sermon before, but everything I've got, you've heard many times before. I've got hundreds and thousands. I don't know how many sermons I've got, but anyway, this is what the Lord wanted me to preach tonight, because I think it's very vital at this time in our life, the life of our church, for you to hear this message tonight. I believe God laid it on my heart. And it's a vital question, and this is one of the most vital questions that you'll ever face. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You don't know, folks, when you're going to need the Lord God of Elijah. And one of the few things certain about life is that it's uncertain. And the reasons it is a vital question, first of all, the uncertainty of health. You may be in a good health and taking vitamins and on a good diet, and you exercise, and you may be watching your weight closely, but in your body right now, you may be in good health sitting here tonight, and in your body right now, there may be a disease germ incubating that will rob you of your health and forever. And when they wheel you into the operating room, you know, it's good to know the Lord God of Elijah. And then it's a vital question because of the uncertainty of friends. A great preacher said, you never make more than 5 or 10 real friends in life who will stick with you. And there will come a time when it seems all your friends have betrayed you. But in that hour of betrayal, you need to know they're the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Then there's the uncertainty of possessions. You may have a good job, good car, good home, and be secure and lose it all in 24 hours. Folks, it happens every day. And the rich fool in Luke 12, you know the story there, he said that he had... crops had been bore abundantly, And he said, you have plenty, had to build larger barns. And he said, you've got it made. Just sit back and take it easy. And that night, God said, thou fool, thy soul shall be required of thee. And Job, one of the great men in the Word of God, lost everything he had in just a few hours. You might say, Brother Lashley, I'm getting along pretty good now and not having any trouble. Reminds me of a man who jumped off a 10-story building, and as he passed the third floor, the man stuck his head out and he said, so far, so good. And in time of reversal, it's good to know the Lord God of Elijah. And then it's a vital question because the uncertainty of life. I remember we had a man and his wife used to sit right back there, and he drove a truck, went up into right across from in Bristol in Virginia there, and pulled into the station truck and went in and talked to the boss, and was sitting in a chair. He dropped dead of a heart attack. So you just never know. And Rush Limbaugh, I mean, just the other day, this week, said on the program, many of you probably heard it, where they said that he had stage 4 cancer. And that was good of the president to give him that medal tonight. Yesterday wasn't. It's great. I remember a girl working at a bank in Kingsport, got sick and had a cerebral hemorrhage and died in just a few hours. There's a fundamental Baptist preacher in Knoxville, and I preached for him one time. Had a son in college, and he was preparing for the mission field. And 3 days before graduation, his life was snuffed out in a tragic car accident. I remember I went up, after I surrendered to preach, I went up with Southern Baptist one summer to be a student missionary in Alaska. And about two to three weeks after I got there, the phone rang, and my pastor at the Oak Street Baptist Church in Soddy, Tennessee, was on the other line. He said, Brother Gene, you're going to have to come home. Your dad was just killed in a car wreck. And it broke my heart, but that helped me to get off the football field and go over to Bob Jones University and start preparing for the ministry. So Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And James says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Folks, you know, you're just one heartbeat out of eternity. You need to realize that. And the uncertainty of life makes this question one of vital importance. And secondly, it's a prayerful question. In reality, this question is, O God, who was with Elijah, be with me the same way. And Elijah was a faithful servant of Elijah for many years. He saw Elijah do many things in the power of God and with the blessing of God. Now, Elijah was gone, and he needed this same God now. We need that same God today. You need Elijah's God in your home. And I'm not talking about you. You and I need Elijah's God in our home. We need Elijah's God in our business and in our ministry. We need the Lord God of Elijah, his power and his strength. This same God who answered Elijah's prayers must be with us if we get our prayers answered. I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's so important right here. A few years before I retired, I knew it was getting close to time when I was in my 70s, and I knew it was getting close to time to retire. And so I wanted to see revival come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We, by the way, God gave us good revivals. 15 revivals under Dr. B.R. Lake and 15 under Mays Jackson and 15 under Dr. Ron Comfort. You remember those great revivals. We had many, many, many people saved in those revivals. But I wanted to, when in my early 70s, I wanted to see revival, Holy Ghost revival, come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I prayed for that. The Lord had, and in great Holy Ghost revival, the place would be packed with people here and people coming and getting saved and getting right with God and getting healed and that. And it's a wonderful thing to be around Holy Ghost revival. But, you know, the Lord didn't do it the way I wanted to. He gave me revival in a different way. He sent prostate cancer to me. And now you ever, the doctor ever tells you you've got prostate cancer or some cancer, you know how it shocks you. And so, but the Lord took the fear away from me. And I had to go to Kingsport and for 25 days have radiation three times a day. And as I would pass by Tennessee Eastman, I would turn the chuck wagon gang on there in my car. And they would sing every day as I was going over to get all these treatments. I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ my Lord. I can e'er depend on his precious word. When the clouds hang low and the skies are, I'm safe, I know, for my Lord is there. And every day I'd turn the chuck wagon gang for 5 weeks every day as I'd come by Eastman, head to the cancer hospital there. And every day I'd have Holy Ghost revival, just me in that car. And I'm glad the Lord sent prostate cancer to me. I'd had 5 weeks and three radiations a day. And God used that to give me personal revival. I thank God for it. The Lord God of Elijah is still on the throne, and still hears and answers the prayers of his children, and he will hear your prayers. Now the same God who gave him, Elijah, courage to stand true, you know, he must help us not to compromise in this day of apostasy. Folks, things look bad all across the country. And socialism, our universities and colleges across America have taught socialism for so long. We've had about two generations of people, young people across America that believe in socialism and would vote for it if a socialist runs. And there's apostasy on every hand, nudity, immorality, and homosexuality and drunkenness. And it was not an easy to stand true in the days of wicked old King Ahab. It seemed like the whole nation was gone after Baal. But Elijah stood true and wouldn't join the ecumenical movement and bow his knee to Baal. And we need to ask the Lord God of Elijah to give us a hide like a rhinoceros and a backbone like a cross tie, so we'll stand against sin and apostasy and unbelief in the days ahead. And a long time ago, I made up my mind with God's help, I'm going to stand for this blessed old book and stand for the God of this book. I remember, I've told you this before, but Harold Sattler preached in our church many years ago over in the chapel there. And he said that you can draw a line right down the road and one, this is the right side and this is the left side, the wrong side. And he said, you'll find me right in the middle of the right side every time. And we ought to determine that we're going to go God's way. And every church can compromise in just a few years if they get the wrong people in leadership. And unless the Lord God of Elijah gives you courage to stand, some of you will compromise and sell out. And you need to make up, and our leaders need to make up your mind that we'll never, never, never go down the road of compromise at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And also we need the same God who provided for Elijah to provide for our needs. The ravens brought after the Lord told him to go to the brook Cherith, and the ravens brought in every morning sausage biscuits from Hardee's and a ham biscuit from Hardee's. And the ravens fed him at night, brought him fried chicken from Chick-fil-A. And the meal barrel didn't, when God closed, cut the water off down there at the brook Cherith, he had to go up to Zarephath, and there that meal barrel didn't run out of meal. God took care of his servant. And the Lord God of Elijah is still, folks, able to meet our needs. 25 or 30 years ago, a couple was left our church. They moved over to in Kingsport, right beside us, Sunnyside Baptist Church. And I went by their house one day on my way to the hospital, and they were fine people, and I talked to them a while, and I started to leave, and the wife said, "Preacher Lashley," and I never had anybody ask me to do this before, and she said, "Would you pray that the Lord would give my husband and I a baby?" Well, that shocked me, and I didn't know what to do, but I thought, well, God can't hear. Now, he has in the past, in answer to prayer. And I got on my knees and right there prayed. I said, "Lord, would you open her, this dear lady's womb and give them a baby they can raise for the glory of God?" And a few months later, I walked into the hospital at the OB ward, and she looked up at me and said, "Preacher Lashley, the Lord heard and answered your prayer." And then years later, I was in the hospital again, about 10 or 12 years later, and she saw me there, and she said, "Preacher Lashley, the child you prayed for, that boy that the Lord gave us, was baptized last Sunday night." And that just blessed her heart. And then when I retired about 10 years or so ago, her husband, now she had died, and her husband came and sat about right over here, and there was a fine-looking young man with him in a suit. And he was a businessman at that time in Johnson City. And that was the boy that I got on my knees and prayed for. That lady wanted a baby. And there he was, sitting there in a tie and suit. So God does hear and answer prayer. And so we just, God today, God's still on the throne, folks. He wants to help you with your needs. He wants you to cast your burden on the Lord and leave it there. And he's able to help us. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. I'm just now about getting wet and wound up. Got a little problem with my throat tonight, but I'm not going to let the devil stop me on that. But anyway, I forgot where I was. Now just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying. He'll answer you. Then also we need Elijah's God when we come time to cross the River Jordan. That's the payoff. The old-time religion, folks, is good enough to live by, and also it's good enough to die by. I'm glad of that. Thank God. And just as God did not fail Elijah at the River Jordan, this same God will not fail you if you're born again when you come stand at death's chilly Jordan. And he sent a chariot of fire to take Elijah to heaven, and he's going to send... You know what he's going to do to every child? He's going to send a convoy of angels to usher you into glory. Thank God. As the song says, "When I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there will be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone." Thank God. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I'm not going to try to sing that. Jesus died for my sins to atone. Morning I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Praise God. That's the greatest assurance we have. One day, because we're going to all face death. And if you're born again, Jesus will not leave you in that hour. Him that believeth on me shall never die. We'll just close our eyes here in death and wake up the next moment in the presence of the Lord. Well, let me get back to my message here. What time is it? Well, I've got plenty of time, don't I? Okay, it's a vital question. It's a powerful question, prayerful question, and it's an answerable question. A few years ago, I preached in Decatur, Georgia, just a suburb of Atlanta there. And the night before I was to preach at that church, I walked the streets all around that church saying, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" I said, "Lord, I want your power on my life, not for fame or selfish reasons, but I want your power on me that I can glorify the precious name of Jesus." Folks, that's why we ought to want the power of God on us, so we can better glorify the name of Jesus. And I prayed and prayed that and went in to preach that night. When I preached, I never will forget it. A dear Oriental lady came, and they knelt with her and prayed with her, and an Oriental lady got saved there that night. God's able to help us. Christian, you will find the power from the Lord God of Elijah at the place of full surrender. You say, "I'd like to have that power upon me, the Lord God of Elijah." It's at the place of full surrender. I've told you many times this, but here's how I found the power of the Lord God of Elijah on my life to go out in the ministry. I fought the call to preach for 4 long years. You might not believe it, but I was timid and shy. And that's the reason I couldn't see myself getting up in front of a crowd like this. But one night down there at Southern Mississippi in the athletic dormitory, I'd been delaying answering that call for 4 long years. I wanted to preach, but didn't think I could do it. And I got up and went out on the golf course and got down on my knees, college golf course, midnight. And I said, "Lord, the best I know how, I believe you're calling me to preach. Lord, if I make the worst flop that ever got behind a pulpit, I'm going to preach." And the Lord, you know, the Lord didn't help me till I surrendered to him. And that's the key. And God's been good to me, and he's blessed me that I've been preaching for 67 years now. And thank God for the privilege. It's been my privilege to brag on Jesus for 67 years. Not brag on me, because I know myself too well. But I can stand up and brag on what a wonderful Savior Jesus is. And it all started that night when I got down on my knees and surrendered to the Lord God of Elijah. And God's been good to me and since I made that full surrender. And you say, "Preacher, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The power of the Lord of God of Elijah." It's at the place of full surrender to the will of God for your life. Is the Lord, let me ask you this question. Everyone, if you are awake, hit him in the ribs, your wife, he's awake. Get him awake. Is the Lord God of Elijah answering your prayers? Stop and think about that. Is the Lord God of Elijah real to you? If he isn't, don't leave here tonight till he is. He's answering your prayers and real to you. And each of you ought to say aloud, "Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord God of Elijah. I'd rather die than live without the power of God on my life." And Brother Herdman coming in a few days to pastor this church. And folks, when he comes in, he needs some people around here full of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Lord God of Elijah on their lives. He can do a great job if he's got people that are filled with the Spirit going out to serve God on bus routes and Sunday school classes, singing in the choir, things like that. So you ought to say, Lord, I'd rather die than live out without the power of God on my life. Ask God for that, the power tonight of the Lord God of Elijah. And you ought to ask him tonight before you leave here. You ought to ask him for that power before you leave this building tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to have Brother Daniel come just in a minute and just sing a song for an invitation. But do you have the power of the Lord God of Elijah in your life? Do you know what it is to get prayer through to God, to be used of God? You say, preacher, I'd like to have more of the power of the Lord God of Elijah on your life. And I'm asking you before you leave here to ask God to fill you with his Spirit, to fill you with the Spirit of the Lord God of Elijah before you leave here. You'd say, preacher, I want best I know how. I'm willing to, whatever it takes, I want the power of the Lord God of Elijah on my life. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I can be used of God the rest of my days on this earth. Folks, you'll spin your wheels unless you get filled with the Spirit of the Lord God of Elijah. Some of you, maybe you're hungry tonight for the power of God in your life. You ought to come and surrender everything you have and say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to be filled with your blessed Spirit tonight. Before I leave here, I want to be filled with the Spirit. How many of you say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart tonight from this passage of Scripture on the Lord God of Elijah, and I want to be filled with the Spirit more than anything else in this world tonight. I would like to know the filling of the Spirit of the Lord God of Elijah tonight. Just raise your hand. If you'd say, preacher, I'd just raise your hand. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And the way to get filled is humble yourself before God, beg God for his presence, surrender everything you have to him, and you can be filled with the Spirit of the Lord God of Elijah. I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing in just a few moments. And then I want you, if you tonight want that power of the Lord God of Elijah, I'm going to ask you to come and gather around the front here and pray and ask God to fill you and make this the night when God fills you with the Spirit. You can have it. You open your heart, surrender everything to him. You can be filled with the Spirit of the Lord God of Elijah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming up here and trying my best, Lord. Been at it 6 to 7 long years, Lord. You've been good to me. Thank you for this privilege of lifting up the name of the Lord God of Elijah all these years. And Lord, I pray that these dear people, men and women, that hunger for the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God, I pray they'll come tonight and surrender everything they have in this world to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, take my life and use me, fill me and use me for your glory the rest of my days on this earth. Lord, right now, may the Holy Spirit of God lead people to come to this altar and seek your fullness before they leave here with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want Brother Daniel to sing, all to Jesus I surrender, all. And just come, you that raised your hand, or if you didn't raise your hand, you'd like to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord God of Elijah. Just slip out and come and pray. And say, Lord, I surrender all tonight. I will put everything I have on the altar. And I want you to fill me with the blessed Holy Spirit.
In his presence daily live, I surrender all. to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Keep playing softly.